portions of this hour brought to you by World Health. Try it today with a 30-day no-obligation free trial, no strings, no catch. Simply a great chance to experience Edmonton's premier fitness club with unlimited group classes and world-class personal trainers. That is World Health.
This is Inside the Stripes with Bud Steen, only on the Jason Greger Show, on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260. If you bump me at work, I can't get it done. You're too tired, baby, to have any fun. If you got complaints, better keep them here. But don't come around and mess with the kid.
Sports Center TSN 1260 as they get down the wire. Sweden and Finland. I'll give you a 5-second countdown if you don't want to know the score. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Sweden leading 1-0 with about 6 minutes left in the game. So there you go. Inside the Stripes brought to you by Bud Steen. 30 years as a CFL official. He's now the evaluator. Steiner, how are you?
You know, I am awfully glad that I'm not having to take my shovel out of the garage.
Yeah, Sundry, man. Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Like, they're tweeting pictures out. I was like, at first, I was like, well, you know what? People just send out stuff.
Yeah.
It's got to be a joke. No.
No.
Not a joke. When the meteorologists are now sending it out, it's
nasty.
Like, not good. Hopefully, it all goes away. But wow, it's not like a little bit. We're talking
a
like,
lot of bit.
Yeah. Like 9 inches, 9 centimeters. I think it was 9 inches, the guy said. So, yeah, huge amount. Now, lots to discuss on the show today. The one play, because we had a few people want, I think I know the answer, but I'll ask the expert on the Adarius Bowman, if you want to call it fumble, I guess, more of a stripping.
That was a strip.
Yeah. So it's a simultaneous catch.
Yep.
And that's why, even though Bowman had his forward momentum stopped, because the ball was clearly never his, is that why the whistle wasn't blown?
That's right. Bowman and Gainey were constantly going at it. When the ball first came in, there was essentially four hands or arms on the ball. And thankfully, it was wide open to the line judge, who was standing right there, had the best seat in the house. And then it was just the tug of war between them. When I saw it live first time, I thought, no, that's got to be wrong. But with the replay, you could see what the officials saw. The two players going at it. Gainey clearly won that battle, pulls the ball away, kind of doubles over. When the two of them stopped moving anywhere, Saskatchewan had the football. So if the play was going to be blown dead, it would have been blown dead at that point. But interestingly enough, as soon as they disconnected, Saskatchewan player came in and blew Bowman right onto the bench. And then it was free sailing for Gainey going down the sideline. It was a hell of a play on his part. I thought Saskatchewan played the Edmonton best receivers very well. Took them a while, but they played quite a game on Sunday and certainly were up to the challenge in that gale force wind.
Yeah, from an official standpoint, how does it change the game with that obvious of a wind? Like, do you have to change your positioning because you expect the ball to carry more with the wind?
Yeah, a little bit. It's really quite miserable because you don't really know what's going to happen. Passes into the wind will all of a sudden dive. One of the field goals actually did an S in the air. We were talking about it with Toronto, and you could see the ball when it was kicked. It started to move in one direction, then it started shifting back the opposite side, and then it went back to the original position. So it just kind of S'd through the middle. So the wind can do a lot of funny things with the football. When the ball is being kicked with the wind, you've got to allow a lot more room so that if a player is going to play it, you are there to make sure that you see what's going on. And then on top of that, it's just blowing at you. So, I mean, it's kind of like if you're out golfing in the wind, you just feel a little bit on edge. So it does make the, the afternoon a little less fun.
A few other things I want to ask about that game. Maybe not about the game, but about the overall. Since the rule change of eliminating what I called was the bonus challenge.
Yeah, the freebie. Yep.
Like, obviously, challenges are down since then. They're down to a game.
Yep.
Right? Which is basically what, I guess. And now that technically there's four, so it's cut in, you know, there's two per teams, right? Not two each one.
That's correct.
It's a total of two challenges per game.
That's right.
So they've definitely dropped down. What's interesting is that the success rate has also dropped 8% since the change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you wonder sometimes what the coaches are seeing and why they're challenging. And then when you take a look at the statistics and see the number of challenges in the second half as compared to challenges in the first half, I'm satisfied that to a certain extent, challenges are strategic and not necessarily play-centric, if I could create a term. They're not necessarily satisfied in their own mind that they're going to be successful when they throw the flag down. They're doing it for another reason. They want to stall something. They want to buy some time. They've got the challenge. They know they're going to lose. They're only going to be able to carry one timeout into the last 3 minutes anyway. So nothing ventured, nothing gained. Throw the flag.
Kind of like Jason Moss at the end of regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not. There was nothing for him to lose there, right?
I mean, yeah. But that wasn't going to get overturned.
It wasn't getting overturned. There was no touch on that. There was nothing. Bowman had a free run all the way down the field, and unfortunately, that was the wind that got in the way there, because Bowman was certainly had best position in terms of advancing that ball further, and then the ball just kind of got its nose down and dropped right into the arms of the Saskatchewan defender.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, has there been any conversation amongst league people? Because it seems when they're reviewing now defensive pass interference, because I know the players were like, that's not pass interference, and multiple occasions in a lot of games, you know, even up till 3 weeks ago, and they were complete, that's not pass interference. I've seen the reviews now, and maybe it's just coincidence, but was there any conversation say, okay, you know what? Maybe we have to rethink what we're deeming pass interference on review.
There are ongoing conversations between the replay officials and the director, and all reviews are subsequently analyzed and evaluated. And so I can say yes, the league is giving some further direction to the replay officials to assist in, let's say, reducing the confusion. Because I know in talking with several coaches, the teams really aren't certain what's going to be called and what isn't going to be called. And we've got to get over that. We have to do a better job of being consistent in either applying a penalty or picking a flag up. And to this point, there has been an element of inconsistency. The last few weeks, I believe we're getting better. And, you know, just like the guys on the field, we will improve. What's the answer? Frankly, I think the answer is have one person responsible for the entire schedule. Is that feasible? Probably not. You'll probably burn somebody out because it's being done out of Toronto. You've got games finishing at 1 o'clock in the morning or later out of BC. And, you know, poor schmuck that has to do a couple of doubleheaders, both late, they're just not going to survive for a 20-week season. So I'm not sure that that's the solution, but anytime you have two separate judgments being applied, you're going to get two different answers.
Bud Steen joins us. And that's the thing. So in the evaluation process of the review, it's always the same people working every game?
How do you mean? In terms of evaluating the
guys? In the command center.
There are two former officials that are...
So they rotate the games?
Yes.
Okay. And I ask that because even then, is it safe to say that even though they might have this... Everybody's... it's still an interpretation.
That's correct.
Ultimately at the end. And so you try to make it as equal as possible, but one guy, like you might view it differently than another 30-year-old official. Is that fair?
That's a fair statement, yes. I may have a different judgment on something. And, you know, I also understand that there's a lot of pressure on these guys. They've been told to get to the decision as quickly as possible because fans don't like the game to drag. And so we've got to move it along. And in some cases, TSN has to go rifling through all of their views to be able to throw something up at us that gives us the best angle, or at least the best angle that they have. So that can take a period of time as well. So you've got the clock in the back of your head, and then you've got the process of looking at what contact occurs and what was the impact, et cetera. So you're gonna end up with two different judgments with two different guys.
How often do those two gentlemen communicate to ensure that they are as close as possible to the one another and what they're seeing?
On a number of occasions, one of them has worked as the video official. So he's the one who is looking at whether it's offside or procedure and moving balls around on flags for illegal blocks, etc.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is working in that position, and the other one is working as the replay official. So they're sitting side by side and literally communicating during the process.
So do they ask one another's opinion
yes, they
at
do.
Times?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Okay.
And in some cases, if it is still questionable, then they're going to go down the line, so to speak. They'll ask the evaluator his opinion. It's difficult because of the technology that is involved in the process. It's difficult for me as an evaluator to really be engaged in the process because I'm between 6 and 9 seconds behind their viewing. And so if they're starting to say, well, okay, now look at his hand, I'm not going to see his hand for 6 to 9 seconds. And so I'm really not that helpful. What I tend to do as an evaluator is I'll give them my opinion right off the top. When I've seen a play, I will say to them, watch for the challenge flag. That's going to be challenged. I don't think it's pass interference. Or, boy, that one's close. Take a look at what the defender did when he stepped in or something like that. So that at least I've tossed my two cents in. And then I sit and wait. If they ask me a question, I answer it. But beyond that, I let them complete the process.
Bud Steen joins us inside the Stripes. We got lots of texts coming in at 10, 12, 60. We'll get some of those questions and more from the Eskimo game and a few other thoughts from around the CFL as we get into the final third of the season. A few more cuts coming in the CFL officials world. Basically, a few more games for some officials to make or break it nearing playoff crunch time. That and more on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. You're listening to the Jason Greger Show. Portions of this hour brought to you by the Sports Closet. The NFL is underway. The NHL is just right around the corner, and the Sports Closet has everything you need from now until the end of the season. Check them out in the Sherwood Park Mall or online at sportscloset.ca.
This is Inside the Stripes with Bud Steen, only on the Jason Greger Show, on your home for Edmonton sports, TSN 1260.
Lots of text flying in, 10, 12, 60. Matt Casson will join us after 4 o'clock. We'll continue our NHL preview stop in Ottawa today. We got Ryan Rashad coming up. Eric Greiba signs a PTO. We'll talk Canada, the United States. Opportunity for Canada to kick the States out of the tournament. Two losses, boom, they're done. Team Europe's already got two wins. Canada would have two wins. They'd both be moving on. And Thursday's game between the Czech Republic and the United States would be meaningless in the standings. So, lots on the line tonight for Canada. Hopefully they spank him. Let's continue on with Bud Steen. Lots of questions coming in. First of all, Bud, is there any chance, do you think, of gaining or losing CFL officials due to the exchange program with the NFL? Comes Texter 23.
I doubt that we will gain officials because clearly the fellows that are being sent up from the NFL to work in the CFL are their development group. And of course, their goal is not to work in the CFL, or certainly not to work in the CFL very long term. They want on the field in the NFL for all kinds of reasons. One, because they think it's a better game, and I stress the word think because they haven't been on the field yet. And secondly, because it's quite a bit better dough for them long term. My gut tells me that we're most at risk. They're looking at our best young officials, and if the NFL is serious about actually hiring some of these guys, they're gonna take some of our better people, our better prospects long term. So I think we've got more to lose than we have to gain in the process. Now, having said that, my gut tells me that really all we're getting out of this, all the CFL is getting out of it, is a bit more exposure to different approaches for game preparation and handling situations on the field with our guys that are going down south. And they can come back and pass that information along to their colleagues, and we can tighten up some of our processes a little bit. But I think... we're not really going to see a bunch of really, really good officials come up here and then say, you know, I think I'd rather work in Canada because the game's way more wide open, a lot more exciting, and a lot more fun to work, and I'm working with a bunch of really great guys.
Huh. Well, and really, they are scouting the best officials and potentially moving them on. The NFL's kind of bringing their recruits or ones that they hope can make it, because the ones that come down here aren't going back and officiating the NFL. Do they have a program in place with NCAA officials in the NFL? Is that where they go? Yeah, similar to they send their guys there like you send yours to the CIS?
That's correct. So what they've done is they've identified a number of officials, and they're working in major colleges, in major associations, and they'll come up. And they'll get exposure to meetings and mini camps and preseason games and that sort of stuff. And then they go back and work their college. And they'll do that several times. The CFL implemented something like that several years ago, where we would identify prospects, bring them up. They would get a game, maybe two, and then go back and do junior and CIS. And that could happen two or three times before they really landed a regular stint in the CFL. So the group that worked with us this summer, two of them got full-time NFL gigs this year, and two of them went back to college. And it's hard to say how many times it's up and down for them. I expect to see some of them back here again next year. I doubt that we'll see the two guys that got full-time NFL assignments will be back here next year. We may see two others. So, you know, I mean, it's an interesting process, because anytime officials are exposed to different approaches, we're learning. So, you know, it's not that we're not gaining anything from having these very high-level college officials come up here. It's just that if you're going to weigh out net benefit, I think it's net benefit them as opposed to us.
And that's fair. A few other ones. Bud, can you... explain the reviews in the last 3 minutes. Were they not all to be reviewed, or is it just scoring plays?
No, we're looking at every standard reviewable aspect of a play. So, you know, changes of possession and complete, incomplete, quarterback across the line of scrimmage, whether or not somebody's gone out of bounds and come back in to participate, scoring plays, et cetera. The only things that of the cachet or the inventory of reviewable plays that are not reviewed by the replay official during the last 3 minutes are pass interference, defensive or offensive, illegal contact, whether or not there has been an illegal block on a kick play, or whether or not we've got no yards on a play. That requires a coach's challenge.
Okay. Has there, and it's interesting looking at the teams that have challenged. Calgary's 0-for-8 so far this season. The Edmonton Eskimos have challenged the most plays, 19, and they've been successful on 8 out of 19, which is 42%, which I think sits fourth in the league. So kind of right in the middle. They've definitely, so I think Eskimo fans, if they don't watch other teams, man, there's a lot of challenges. There are in Eskimo games, but Calgary's only challenged 8, Ottawa 11. You know, like Edmonton's substantially higher than a lot of other teams.
Yeah, I think Coach Maz is perhaps a little bit more of a risk taker. You know, it could very well be that his cadre of spotters are better than some of the other ball clubs. It's hard to say. I mean, we've given the teams the technology. They're working with tablets and they're seeing what we're seeing. They're getting the truck feed. They're getting the coaches 24 in their spotters booth. So we're giving them everything that we can to help them make the decision. And, you know, it might just be a philosophy of the ball club. We've got them. Let's use them. What's the harm? We lose a timeout. Well, fine. Give us the ball in the end. And our quarterback will deal with that, and he'll make sure that you know, we get the ball out of bounds so that we can stop the clock.
Bud, as we enter the final third of the season, and from your evaluations, is there one area that you would like overall, collectively, the officials to improve in?
Well, I'm on a bit of a rampage this week. People that watch games this past weekend, especially if you watch the Montreal-Hamilton game, the officials, for some reason, have lost control of the sideline. And there's a 6-foot working space that is supposed to be available for the officials. And the officials can only be joined in that space with coaches. And as I say, we've lost it. And the officials are reluctant to be making a big deal of it. Well, in the Montreal game on Friday night, late in the game, the back judge got absolutely hammered. He had no place to go. There was a player that had him trapped, and he ended up taking a player and smacked his head on the ground, just about knocked himself out. So, I mean, that's my rant, is just get control of the damn benches and get people back so you've got room to work. Because if you've got room to work, I think you'll be a little bit more effective. In terms of quality of officiating, I think the fellows have done a very good job this year. Looking at the overall scores, I would say we're up. I can't say that I've actually done a statistical analysis. I'll take a look over the next week and try to form a better opinion of that. But we haven't had any real nasties, anything that really has had a serious impact on the outcome of a ball game. And you know, we like to dodge situations like that. We don't want to have an impact on a ball game if we can, you know, avoid it at all. And all we really want to do is be administrators out there. And I think the guys have been doing a really good job. I like the development of some of our young referees some of the fellows that have moved into new positions. We've got some young line of scrimmage officials coming up who are really, really stepping up. Their games have improved a lot. So I do see an improvement in a lot of the young guys. And, you know, it's good for the future because, you know, some of the guys that are getting a little long in the tooth, they're just one bad hit away from saying, all right, I think I've had enough of this and then heading off to chase me and take my job.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully you have a job for at least another year. Have a good one. We will talk to you next week. Hopefully the challenge flags continue to drop,
yes,
as we've seen in the last few weeks. We'll return. Matt Cassian will join us. We got Eric Greiber, Ryan Rashog, also a preview of the Ottawa Senators as we go around the NHL. But first, Mark Mangione, Sports Center Update, brought to you by Michael Anthony Jewelers, 10809 124th Street. Stop in, see Reg and his crew. You want an engagement ring, you want wedding bands, you want watches, you want jewelry, they have it all. Fantastic quality, fantastic prices, michaelanthonyjewelers.com.